Hi, I'm Rachel Abbott. Over the past 25 years, I've overcome disordered eating and I've learned how to help others overcome their undesired eating behaviors too. In fact, I've created an entire health coaching practice that centers around empowering women to take control of their relationships with food. And here on the podcast, we discuss our favorite ways of doing just that. So if you'd like to feel empowered in the way you relate to food and learn about all different kinds of ways to do that, then stick around.
Hey, thanks for coming back. Today I have a fun episode for you guys. It's a discussion with my very best friend Laura Irvine about the benefits of Overeaters Anonymous, a 12-step program. I will say, please forgive me for the audio. I am still learning how to record podcast. My voice is very quiet and hers is a little easier to hear, so I do apologize. I promise to get better for you guys. So anyways, stick around if you want to hear about our experience with Overeaters Anonymous.
All right, so today on our show, we have someone very near and dear to my heart. She's been a very integral part of my own personal journey of healing my relationship with food, and she's my favorite life coach, one of my very best friends, and she's here to talk to me today about utilizing a 12-step program to overcome compulsive eating and maladaptive food behaviors. So without further delay, I introduce you to Laura
Hello, hello. Whoa, round of
Irvine.
applause. Just kidding.
Hey,
Thanks for having
Laura.
me. Hmm.
Yeah, thank you for coming. Tell us about yourself, real quick.
Sure. Struggled with overeating forever, binge eating, kind of navigating through that, and happy to support you here. I know today we're talking about OA, right?
OA,
What is OA?
yeah. Overeaters Anonymous, yeah. So I guess I can start. Basically, once I finally opened up about my eating disorder to you, you were like, "Yeah, no big deal. Everybody, like a lot of people I know have that." And I was shocked, to say the least. I had no idea that you struggled with food stuff, and that you knew other people who did, that kind of thing. And I think we were talking about this the other day. At some point, you and I went to go see a therapist together, our mutual therapist, Larry. We went to a mutual session with him, and I think you said it was my idea. I don't even know how I came up with it, but I was like, we should go to OA one day, Overeaters Anonymous. And we talked to Larry about it, and Larry was like, yeah, why not? And so you and I went, and so that's what we wanted to talk about today on the podcast, is just our experience with OA and what it did for us, what it didn't do, would we recommend it, that kind of thing. So
And I didn't really get a whole lot out of it, but I'm also not like a super, I'm more of like, I love therapy and I love like one-on-one. So it was very much more like group, and I'm needy and I like the attention of one-on-one. So, but tell me why you liked
I loved OA. And
it.
for me, food restriction and binging were both issues of mine. And so what I liked about OA is that it didn't matter what food issue you had, you were welcome at OA. And the 12 steps, the 12, those basically the same 12 steps for any A program, AA, NA, OA, but they're customized based on whatever specialty or I don't know how to say
Narcotics
that.
Anonymous, Gamblers
Yeah,
Anonymous,
whatever,
Overeaters Anonymous,
exactly, yeah. Whatever
Alcoholics,
issue you have, it's like,
Addiction, yep.
yeah, it's customized to that, right? But it's the same 12 steps essentially. So I liked that it didn't matter what issue I had, I could use those 12 steps and work through my issues. I liked that it has a huge piece to do with spirituality and your higher power is what they call it. And especially because at the time you and I entered the program, I was going through some spiritual stuff and trying to figure out what the heck I believed in. And so I feel like OA actually guided me with like figuring out what that was, how to lean on, God and what God is and that kind of thing. So anyways, I liked that there was community, there was other people there that struggled with similar issues. I liked that it didn't matter what issue I had with food, I could be there and it would be helpful. And I liked the spiritual piece.
And to be fair, you were coming from an environment that was very isolating, very alone,
Yeah, absolutely.
and very like non-spiritual, like you said,
Yeah.
to community, people I can talk to about
Right.
this instead of shutting down, whatever, this is
Yeah.
nothing, don't worry about
Yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Whereas I
at the time was living in an apartment community, leasing apartments. And so I had a lot of social activity, a lot of like people around me, a lot of like community, a lot of folks to talk to about this, to where I was like, I don't need more folks to talk to about this. Like, I need a solution. So we were coming from different places, but I can totally see why you liked it.
And that's the other thing too, is I think that you were more comfortable talking about it than I was. Like, you were literally the first person I
That's
ever
true.
told that I had this issue with.
That's
So
true.
to be around other people, and I mean, it's all different body sizes. Like, you know, like there was that one little teeny tiny lady. I don't remember her name, and we can't say names anyway. It's anonymous. That's literally in the
That's true.
title.
That's
But
true.
anyways, just being
You
around
were
a group of
liberated. You
people.
finally got
Yes,
free to talk
absolutely.
about it. Whereas I was like,
Exactly.
I'm fucking talk about this all the time. Like, I need something else.
But I loved it. Yeah.
And it was just a during a time in your life where you were kind of shifting, kind of like blossoming, like
Oh
opening
yeah.
back up.
Yeah. And to anybody who doesn't know, what Laura's referring to is my practice marriage. The I was married for what, 11 years, I think. Got married super young, and I didn't know who I was when I got
Yeah,
married.
you
Like,
were
you
just
don't know who you
muted.
are at 21. And so I was just whoever. Anyways, I was in a relationship that wasn't healthy, felt very controlled and isolated. So anyways, so yes,
So you were
being
like,
out in the
community.
community, like out and about with other people, felt amazing. Yeah. But I still do think people could benefit from it,
Yes.
even if they're not like isolated and alone and that kind of thing. I loved it. I think it's a great, I would go back.
What was your favorite part about it?
I liked sharing. I liked listening to other people's stories. I liked reading the story. So I liked, I don't even know what those books are called anymore, but
The big book, isn't that what it's called?
that's the, I think that has more of the actual
I don't
journal
remember.
prompts or like exercises you're supposed to do, but the one where that has people's actual stories where they share
Oh
their own
yeah, forgot about
testimonials,
that.
essentially. I loved reading about other people's testimonials because people have so many different perspectives, and I'm limited to my own perspective. So anyways, it's nice to see other people's perspectives and to see where they're coming from and to adapt that mindset into my own. I don't know. I like that part of it. What about you?
I liked the high level spiritual concepts of it all. Like, I love talking about God in general, and I love talking about like higher power and how he relates to that. Mainly because I'd like to fucking argue with God. I'm like, this is stupid. You need to take this away right now. And so it allowed me a space to argue with him and be like, yeah, so you're a higher power, but you got this wrong. Like, you need to take this away. So that's what I liked about it.
So speaking of God, you mentioned a unique perspective that I had not heard before, before we started recording, and I think that would be good to share.
Your higher power's will is not your will. So a friend shared with me her perspective on the 12 steps and how when you are going to the 12-step program, you are praying for, asking for your higher power, using those 12 steps to help you with your addiction. So the goal isn't to get rid of the addiction. The goal is to manage with the help of your higher power, manage that addiction, which is your higher power's will. And so I never thought about it that way. So she kind of explained it like, God's will is for you to have an old car, and you're like, no, I need a brand new BMW. Like, why would you let me have this old car? But that's God's will. His will for you to have that old car may be to be, relate to other people who have old cars, talk to them about your experience with your old car, be approachable to someone who may otherwise feel scared to come up to someone in a BMW because like it's really intimidating. So you're more personable to kind of come up to with an old car. And so you're praying for those resources and things you need to accept having an old car. And then the closer you get to accepting the old car, the more free you are to, think about creative ways to make more money to buy the new car, creative ways to barter or trade something, to get a new car. So you're not necessarily like, it's not about getting the new car. Mm-hmm. It's about being happy with the old car. Mm-hmm. And I still don't like that.
Yeah. Right.
I can't fucking stand it. But that's how a 12-step program can benefit someone who is just resistant like me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Seeing it from that angle.
Yeah. And I like that perspective. I had never heard that.
Yeah, me either. And she said, you know, a lot of times people miss it in the steps. They're like praying for my higher power to remove this thing. That's not like, you got the thing. Mm-hmm. You're going to be stuck with the thing, yeah. Assuming you're going to be stuck with the thing. Because if that's your higher power's will to be stuck with the thing, you got to learn to live with the thing and how to manage mm-hmm. the thing and how to talk to other people about the thing. And what does that look like?
Yeah.
So it's not the life you want. How do you handle that? How do you manage that? You're going to be mad at God forever?
Yeah. Yeah, and what's that saying? Like, God never gives you something that you can't handle? Or
He does all the freaking time.
he never gives you anything more than you can handle. Yeah.
But He does give you more than you, you know, more than you can handle on purpose so that you will reach out to Him, so that you will ask Him questions. Like, that's... He's like trying to let you know, like, hey, can we have a relationship with
the
you?
Resources?
Sure.
Like,
yep.
The resources
totally.
Are there.
Yeah. Yep.
You just have mm-hmm. to figure them out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's to kind of create a relationship and kind of create that resistance to rely on Him. He wants to be the source.
Yeah.
Anywho.
Yeah.
We should go back to an OA meeting.
Yeah, we should.
Mm-hmm.
Should we go back to that same one? See the other?
Yeah, if it's still there.
Yeah. I bet it is. I bet it's still the same sweet little ladies.
Probably.
For those of anyone who's listening that doesn't know, I live in a small town. Laura lives in the big city. It feels like the big city. She lives in Charlotte. So, like, I drove to Charlotte today for this podcast, and it felt like, oh my God, I'm in the big city. Like, I got us some Starbucks and was greeted by like a transgender person, and that's not something you would see in where I live, Kannapolis. So anyways, where I live, which actually the OA meeting we went to was in Concord, mm-hmm. which is right next to Kannapolis. But anyways, teeny tiny towns compared to Charlotte, and sweet people. So mm-hmm. anyways. Yeah.
Yeah, we should go back to one and see what it's like, or, you know. And I'm sure, like, different people, too. Like, I wonder what a different group would be like.
Yeah.
Because you're right. Like, you get sweet little mm-hmm. little old ladies in a mm-hmm. the bottom of a basement church.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Well, is there anything else that you would like to comment on as far as OA goes?
Where are we on time? Just curious.
12 minutes.
Okay. On a scale of 1 to 10 in all of your tools and resources over the years, what number would you give OA as being a good resource? 10 being the best resource and I use this all the time, or 1 being not something I use all the time?
I would give it a 5. Mm-hmm. Like, it was definitely integral. I'm so glad I learned about it and went to it. But it's not necessary. And it's definitely not something that I continue to use today. Mm-hmm. I don't need to, but I know that it's always there and I know that it's helpful. So I would give it a 5.
I would give it a 3 only because, like, it was useful at that time, but
yeah.
not necessarily anything I would use going forward.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that, like, at the time, when we were doing it, I would say it was like a 5 to 7. Like, yeah, this is really helpful because I didn't have all the additional resources that I have now. So
yeah,
every little bit helps.
Yeah,
every little bit helps. Can't yeah. hurt. My friend who goes to AA meetings, she goes to one about 5 times a week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know. And she goes, because she was kind of close to, like, relapsing, so she was going 5 times a week, and then when she's feeling better, she'll go 3 times a week,
okay.
or do some of them virtual, but she's mm-hmm. been trying to go in person, and that's something else, too, to kind of talk about this day and age is having the virtual meetings,
yeah.
whereas we didn't have that before
no.
COVID. This
yeah.
was several years ago, so everything was in person, and trying to get there after traffic, or excuse me, after work in traffic and everything for me, coming from the big city, like you said, it was annoying and stressful to go. Like, it got on my nerves to go.
Right.
I enjoyed it when I was there. But if I could go to a virtual meeting, I would probably add that to my toolbox a lot more frequently.
Yeah. And see, I'm the opposite. Like, I would want to go to, like, actually see people and, like, touch. Like,
That would be the better option.
Yeah.
But I would, because so much of my just life of living so far away from you, so far away from, even if it's in the city, like, to get to the other side of the city is still 20, 30 minutes, but you're still in Charlotte.
Right.
Like, it takes up so much of your time and your day that I probably would do something more virtual.
Yeah.
Before we go in person.
That's interesting. And I would wonder how that works. Cause like one of my favorite parts too is at the end where we all hold hands. And what was the thing we said? We said, keep coming back. It works when you work it.
Yeah.
Give a lot of love and give a lot of hugs.
And we'd
all
give then we'd hug.
Yeah.
That was great. You have a good memory. It was impactful to you. You raise your number to like a seven now.
Yeah, it's great. So anyways, I absolutely recommend it to anybody who's struggling. It's a great place to meet people. And the other concept is the idea of sponsorship. Like knowing that when you get there, you can put your phone number down on a piece on that piece of paper that they pass around, and somebody will call you and text you daily or however much you need it to remind you, like, you're not in this alone. You know, there's resources out here. What, how can I help you today or pray for you or whatever? So that's nice too.
That's true.
So anyways, I think that's about it as far as OA goes, unless you have anything else to add.
No, I think that was it. Yeah.
Okay.
It's worth a try.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thanks for talking to me about OA.
Thanks. Bye.